searchlights sweep across the night sky, upon a podium in huge gold letters, 20th Century Fox. British Sky Broadcasting presents Wrong Turn 2, starring Erica Learson as Nina, Henry Rollins as Colonel Dale, Texas Battle as Jake, Alexa Palladino as Mara, Daniela Alonso as Amber, Steve Braun as Jonesy, Matthew Curry Holmes as Michael, Crystal Lowe as Elena, Kimberly Caldwell as Kimberly, Ken Kersinger as Pa, and Wayne Robson as the old man. A rusty diamond-shaped yellow road sign that says Dead End appears out of the gloom. The film's written by Tori Meyer and Al Septeen, based on characters by Alan McElroy. It's directed by Joe Lynch. Voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. A vast forest is shown from different angles, an aerial perspective swooping over trees and a winding river. Then from the woodland floor, peering upwards through the mighty pines. There's a huge lake bordered by trees and mountains. A long empty road cuts through the forest. Captions, Greenbrier Backcountry, West Virginia. Suddenly a red open-top sports car speeds down the road. Behind the wheel, a young woman in her 20s. She's got peroxide blonde hair and sunglasses perched on her head. She's wearing a black crop top, which shows off her tan belly button, and little hot pants. And she's got a mobile headset in her ear.
Now, what kind of agent are you?
You'll find the road. Kimberly, look, it's 4 a.m. in L.A. Can I go back to sleep?
I was up all night on the red eye, and it wasn't first class like you promised.
Give me credit for the car. Nice ride, huh?
Yeah, whatever. By the way, these directions suck. Project sucks.
Hey, it's a great opportunity.
It's a reality show pilot.
Hey, you sang your way to the top 7 the last time you were on TV. Now you're the star. You're Kimberly fucking Caldwell. You're the only celebrity they've got.
If I'm such a celebrity, Tommy, get me a movie.
Look, Kimster, your Q score is going to go way up and you'll have a chance to win 90 grand.
I thought it was 100.
Well, I get 10%, remember?
She peers forward.
Wait, there's a turn off.
She comes around a bend and stops the car at a fork in the road.
Look, I've got power yoga in like 2 hours. Did you find it yet?
I don't know. There's some old paper mill here, but there's nothing about it on the map.
Yeah, that's gotta be it. Look, Kimbo, you can't afford to make a wrong turn here. You really don't have the time.
She pushes the automatic gear stick into reverse, turns the car slightly, then heads down a side road past a broken wooden sign that says Hope Creek, Pulp and Paper.
Why am I here?
Because this business is tough. Besides,
wait, you're breaking up.
Clients, you're the one with the factor here.
Hello?
She's driven into a figure standing in the road who strikes the windscreen, flips up into the air, and ends up tumbling onto the tarmac behind her. Kimberly stops the car. Her hands are gripping the steering wheel tightly. She's staring forwards in shock, trying to gather her thoughts. With trepidation, she peers into her rear-view mirror and looks at the crumpled body in the road.
Don't be dead. Don't be dead.
Shaking with anxiety, she gets out of her car and rushes towards the motionless figure, whose legs are splayed and twisted. Kimberly stares down at it, breathing heavily. She holds up her mobile phone.
Anybody!
With a look of revulsion, she kneels down by the body.
Don't worry. I'm gonna get you help, okay? No. No, please! Please! No, don't die! Come on, breathe, breathe!
The man appears to be choking. Kimberly looks away and puts her fingers into his mouth. Some blood spurts out of it as the man retches.
I'm here.
The man grabs her, and clinging to her face, he bites it violently. Kimberly struggles. She pulls away from him. Her mouth is covered in blood, and her teeth are exposed as if her lips have been bitten off. The disfigured man is holding Kimberly's mobile phone earpiece and chewing something. Kimberly tries to flee, but runs into a long-haired man carrying a large axe. The crash victim starts to get up, and with a series of jerks, straightens his body out. Kimberly stands terrified and helpless in front of the axe man, who steadies her, holding her head. He lifts his axe. Kimberly's guts splash out onto her trainers. Her legs fall in opposite directions. She's been chopped straight down the middle. The axe man takes one of her hands and drags half of her down the country lane. The crash victim takes the other side of Kimberly's body and hobbles along behind. All that's left in the road is the car and a neat red pile of intestines lying next to it. Apocalyptic images are shown on a TV.
It's the end of the world. Society in chaos. Governments no longer in control. The world has been devastated by a catastrophic disaster. But you're still alive.
Overnight, you've been thrust back into the Stone Age. Modern conveniences are a thing of the past. Would you have the guts to survive? I am retired Marine Colonel Dale Murphy. Welcome to the apocalypse. Over the next 5 days, P6 contestants will be put to the ultimate test.
I'm going to be the ultimate survivor because on my last show, I learned more than anything what it takes to win.
So what's the tattoo?
It's the infinity sign. Because I want to be remembered forever.
Friends call me Jonesy.
Fearless is my middle name.
He falls off his skateboard.
That sucked, dude. I told you to save that run. Can we do that again?
Hi, I'm Elena. I'm like a fox. Sexy, sleek, and I always get what I want.
Nina, I'm a survivor because I know there's only one person I can count on. Myself.
I'm Jake. 3 surgeries on my rotator cuff destroyed my shot at a pro football career. But not my drive to win.
Amber, one tour of duty in Iraq. They call me La Conquistadora. Enough said. Semper Fi!
These 6 contestants have been thrown together in a devastated wasteland with only the clothes on their backs and the will to survive. Rain or shine, in 5 days, only one will remain. Welcome to the apocalypse.
Dale's a beefy soldier in a t-shirt and combat trousers. He's in an RV with Michael, a thin, dark-haired young man, and Neil, an Asian-looking guy.
Well, what do you think, man? We spent all last night cutting it.
Brando, eat your heart out.
You're the real deal, yo. That's why the network loves you.
It rocks, Sam.
That's right. We're going to series for sure.
Michael pushes open the door of the truck.
Today's a good day to die. Where's my producer?
It's brilliant, Michael. Really.
Thank you.
The producer, Mara, is a petite woman with long dark hair.
You know, I still don't see what makes this show any different from that other survival show.
I don't watch television.
It's supposed to take place at the end of the world, man.
That's what makes it different. Look, you're not on some summer resort trying to make alliances. You're trying to be the last man standing after the apocalypse.
It's killer. Middle America family entertainment, mate.
Booyah.
Yeah, right. I'm so there, dude.
No, I plan on being the last woman standing. Chill, Ramba. The prize money's gonna be mine.
Oh, you two girls could mud wrestle for it. The ratings gold.
Ew.
You stupid man. I ain't tapping that.
Hey, it's Parrotheads. Nice shirts, boys.
Yeah, make fun all you want.
Well, while you Hollywood freaks are out here sleeping on rocks, us parrot heads will be in Margaritaville back at the hotel. So the woods are all wired up, 32 cameras and mics ready to go.
Are you the man, Wojo? Listen, just make sure everything's copacetic with Neil, okay?
Yeah, see you in 5 days. Enjoy the great outdoors, Tarantino.
Nuts. I could help you spread it on all those hard-to-reach places.
You know, if I hadn't seen you eat shit the X Games last year, maybe you would stand a chance.
Hey, I made the Street Cop Finals.
Okay, here's a clip. I only give it up to winners, not guys who choke.
I'll give you something to choke on.
Amber, who has Latino features and wears a little vest and shorts, is doing sit-ups. Mara's nearby on a canvas folding chair marked producer.
I wish I had abs like yours. I do 200 these a day. I guess I'll just stick to my low-carb diet and hope for the best.
Mara, where the hell's Kimberly?
Still no answer.
God damn it. I knew that prima donna was a problem when we cast her.
Yeah, but she's got those Angelina Jolie lips. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
It's gonna be a long 5 days.
All right, we can't wait any longer. I gotta shoot, like, now.
You're the producer, Pop-Tart. That's why you make the big bucks. What are we gonna do?
Well, we can't recast, so we're just gonna have to go with five.
Whoa, no, wrong. You know the show. All I have to do is shoot your character intro and we're good to go.
No, I don't think so.
What other choice do we have?
Dale and Michael stare at her.
Okay, yeah, what the hell?
That's it. Show them what you made up.
All right, boys and girls, listen up. We have a half-mile hike to the survivalist camp. Let's go. It's time to move out.
All right, everybody grab your kit and let's get going. This is it.
Hey, Michael. You know I'm a complete geek without my BlackBerry and my cell. I mean, there's a good chance I'll be the first to go.
Oh, come on. Just change your clothes. Put on some bug spray. You'll be great, even without your BlackBerry.
Okay. I'll do it for you.
But, Mara, it's them. No, not Michael.
Yes, I know. Okay, sorry.
Michael moves away. Mara looks a little anxious and stands up. Then she's staring at herself in a mirror on the RV door. She gives her best serious face, then smiles.
God, who am I kidding?
Okay, we're moving out. You're all alone out here, so let's close ranks and stick together.
Jake, a handsome African-American man, peels off from the group and saunters towards Nina, who's sitting on a log listening to music.
Hey, everyone's leaving. Everyone's leaving.
What?
We're about to start the game. It's time to go. Hi, I'm Jake. You're Nina, right?
Look, I'm just here for the money, not to make friends, okay?
Wow, okay. Fair enough. You drop this while you're getting out of the RV. Now, I'm sad, no food.
Oh, well, I'm vegan. That might be the only thing I can eat out here.
Well, you can always go chew on a tree. This is cheating.
She stands up.
Sue me. Give it back.
I would have, but since there's no need to be making friends...
Jake unwraps her muesli bar and takes a bite.
That's good.
Nina's an attractive blonde-haired woman wearing a gray top and dark trousers.
All right, everybody, ready? And action, Dale.
You cannot survive the apocalypse alone, so you make friendships. You perform tasks together. You figure out who you need to ride out the chaos and who's expendable. Today, we're going to split into three teams, go out and search for food. The number each of you pick decides your teammate.
Number one all the way, baby.
Yeah. You and me, baby. All the way.
Who's got a number two?
Well, I did a number two back at the gas station. Come on, dude. That was funny.
Amber holds up an apocalypse card with a number two on it.
Oh, sweet.
I guess you and me are a team. Hello?
All right, boys and girls. It's the end of the world. And the odds are against you from the start. Radiation poisoning is a reality. That's why you're all wearing these. Every day you'll be given a radiation elimination card, and one of them is already contaminated. At the end of the day, the player holding the simulated radiated card is dead. Don't worry, it just means you're disqualified. But you have a chance to survive the day by giving your card to another player and surviving the radiation elimination. It's a test of your personal will, your endurance, and fate. And in the apocalypse, your fate can change like that. Wild animals, bacterial infection, and post-apocalyptic crazies are all around you, waiting to take you down. They're represented by these. We call them twists of fate. They are survival challenges, and dozens of them are scattered all over the playing area. You trigger the motion sensor, and you hear this.
Someone is walking through the trees nearby.
Explain your survival challenge. Accomplish the challenge, and you earn the right to take your radiated card and give it to any player you choose and automatically survive the day. We are going to assemble back here at 1800 hours and see who will perish in the chaos and who is one step closer to $100,000. Good luck to all of you. Remember, you have to work as a team to survive the game. But only one of you can be the ultimate survivalist after the apocalypse. And cut!
Nice work, Dale!
All right. I'm ready for my 15 minutes, Hollywood. Okay, everybody. The headsets are transmitting audio and video back to the edit bay. So
don't take them off.
And also, cell phones and PDAs, etc., give them to Neil. He's going to put them in the RV.
Neil holds out a box which the group's phones are thrown into.
Have fun.
I gotta go take a wicked piss fight on them.
Okay, I'm going to follow Elena and Jake first as planned. Just remember, everybody, let's make it feel real. Okay.
He approaches Mara.
Hey, what's up?
I'm still going to suck at this. Why'd I let you talk me into it?
Because I'm irresistible.
You're a jerk, you know.
Amber's in front of Dale.
Colonel, what happens if we lose the elimination round?
We go back to the RV, and you drown your sorrows with me and Jack Daniels until the game is done.
Well, that sounds like fun, but don't worry, sweetness. I won't let you lose. And if any of those pig fucking hillbillies come around, I got your back.
Hey, Bonehead! I grew up 2 counties from here. I never had sex with a pig in my life. And I promote stereotypes, are you, son? Outstanding! People in these parts might not take that talk too well. You might want to put a lid on it. Is that all right with you, funny man?
Yes, sir.
Dale winks at Amber, who salutes.
That's cool. You guys got the whole military bond thing happening, Semper Fi and shit.
Yeah, and we both hate assholes.
She strides off. Jonesy nods to himself and follows her.
Shit, the techies were supposed to finish setting these up before they left.
Put your producer hat away and get your head in the game. I'll set these up. I don't have time to kill anyone.
Thank you. God, I wish I didn't have to do this.
Well, Mike, he really put you on the spot, didn't he?
Yes, he thinks it'll be entertaining to send a city girl into the woods.
Cruel if you ask me, but don't worry. There's something in you he doesn't see that I do. You may be pretty, but you're tougher than you think. We'll be all right.
He heads off on a quad bike. Mara looks round. She rushes off after Nina, who's marched into the woods. Soon she too is heading through the forest with a determined expression. Her personal little head camera is worn over her right ear. She catches Nina up along the path. Elsewhere, Neil's standing in front of a tree having a long pee into some ferns. Nearby, inside the empty control room of the RV, images from some of the contestants' headcams are being shown on a monitor. Cam 9's view is displayed, showing Neil still taking a leak. As he's finishing, a figure rushes up behind him, slashes his throat with a knife, and scalps a large patch of hair from his head. Dressed in old dungarees and a tatty mauve sweatshirt, the attacker has wispy grey hair and a disfigured face. He looks at the clump of hair and drags Neil's trembling body away. Mara and Nina are trudging down a muddy forest path.
If you eat fish, maybe we should head towards the river to find some food.
I'm vegan. I don't eat or use any animal products, including the swimming kind.
Oh. Isn't your belt made of leather?
It's leather. I'm not a hypocrite.
No, I didn't think that you were. Actually, being vegan is why you got picked to be on the show. and thought that there wouldn't be a lot for you to eat out here, and you might have to resort to gulping down insect larvae or something. It's the kind of thing America loves in its reality shows, right?
America's sick.
Yeah. I hate reality shows. They're pretty idiotic.
Why are you doing this?
Because it's my job. It's Emmett's first project, and just trying to be supportive.
If I was his girlfriend, I would have said, this sucks. You're on your own.
Come on, no, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would. If you haven't noticed, I can be a bit of a bitch.
Well, if you hate reality shows, then why are you doing this?
Let's just keep going. Gotta find some food.
Elsewhere in the forest, Colonel Dale bends down and loads a cartridge marked Twist of Fate into one of the tripwire devices. He stands and looks up at a CCTV camera positioned in the branches of a nearby tree. The view from the surveillance camera shows Dale moving back through the woodland. He picks up his backpack, which he'd propped up against a tree, and slings it over his shoulder. He turns round, as if checking he's not being followed, and continues onwards. He reaches his quad bike and climbs up onto it. He notices two arrows sticking out of one of the front tires.
Fucking weekend warriors.
He jerks round and peers at the trees. Frowning, he gets off the bike and heads resolutely back into the wood. He reaches the tripwire device, which appears to have been dismantled.
Better stand down, or someone's gonna get hurt!
An arrow lands in a stump near his feet. As he turns, another arrow lands in a slope that he's rushing up. He takes cover behind a tree. He looks left and right, then rushes towards another tree. An axe blade thuds into its trunk next to his face. One of the disfigured hillbillies is glaring at him nearby. Dale flings his hunting knife at the newcomer, and it sticks in his shoulder. The hillbilly pulls it out. Dark blood spews from the gaping wound. Smiling, he licks the knife's blade. As Dale turns, he's knocked out by another of the forest dwellers. Then Amber is crouching over an arrow that she's picked off the ground amongst the leaves. Jonesy ambles up to her.
Broken arrow. That's really going to help us hunt for food.
She binds the arrowhead to a length of wood.
Spear. I like it. It's so long and hard. I'm just goofing. Come on. I read your bio back in the RV. West Point, 4.0 average.
Your brain.
That's tight. I bet you're a reader. What's your favorite book, huh? I'm in the Cat in the Hat myself. So you did the whole tour of duty in Iraq thing, too. That's cool. I'm more of a pacifist myself, but hey, I can get down with the patriotism. Woman in uniform's a turn on.
Will you shut up?
Oh, she talks.
Amber stops.
We've been hiking for 3 hours, but we haven't seen or heard any animals or birds. It's dead quiet out here.
It's freaky, right? It's like we're all alone. We could get all nasty and nobody'd see a thing, except for 30 million people. Come on, you're into me like a little bit.
You just don't get it, do you? I'm not into men.
You're a lesbian? How hot is that?
Jake's being filmed by Michael.
All right, let me just get focused here. And action. So I'm at the two, I'm at the one. I jump, I leap, bam. Shoulder was never the same. Killed my chances at a pro career just like that. It's funny, because you never know when your life's going to change. Man, I wanted to be in the NFL so bad since I was six.
Oh, honey, I totally understand where you're coming from.
No, dude, don't look in the lens.
So then after college, you just bounced around trying to find yourself?
Yeah, well, this opportunity came up, you know, to be on this TV show. I can't throw a football no more, but I'm still athletic.
Mm-hmm.
I figure I use the talents that God gave me, right?
His six-pack.
Well, we'll have to thank God later.
Yeah, right, thank God later. I think I hear the river this way. Yeah. Come on.
He gets up. Michael and Elena roll their eyes.
God didn't give you a pair of balls?
Nina and Mara are still trudging through the woodland.
How about we take a break?
We have to find food. If we prove that we're the best at it, then it's less likely anybody will give us a radiation card.
I haven't seen anything to eat.
Mara breaks the tripwire.
Oh, holy shit! It's one of those twists of fate. I set it off.
Where is it?
She pulls the cartridge from the device.
You've been infected by anthrax from a nearby laboratory explosion. An antidote can be found by the river. You have 2 minutes. God, I would get this.
Yeah, well, good luck. Go.
Hey, come and shoot. We need your footage.
Mara rushes off along a narrow, muddy path pursued by Nina. She looks down at the cartridge and scampers past bushes and ferns.
I think I see the river!
Where?
Nearby, there's a waterfall that's feeding a fast-moving river. The two women appear out of the trees.
What do you need now? That!
1 minute remaining.
Overhanging the river, a fallen tree, attached to the underside of which is some kind of slot-loading device and a little orange flag. Mara is taking wobbly steps up to the water's edge.
45 seconds remaining.
She's now on all fours as she stretches across the overhanging tree. Nina watches with concern. Lying on her tummy on the trunk, Mara shuffles slowly towards her prize.
30 seconds remaining.
The little object swings in the breeze. Mara slides herself forward a little and tries to snatch it, but it just eludes her. She suddenly rolls off the trunk, grabbing the device as she plunges into the rolling water. She struggles to keep herself from going under as the force of the river sends her tumbling past rocks. As Nina watches on the riverbank, Mara stands and with trembling hands tries to locate the cartridge into its slot on the device.
5, 4, 3.
Got it. I can't believe I did it! You can die!
Then Michael, Jake, and Elena are standing in a cove at the water's edge.
Awesome.
Michael sets up his camera.
All right, guys, one sec. Okay, keep it loose.
You ready?
Go.
Whew! It is hot out here. You know what? I think we can fish later.
She kicks off her shoes.
We are rolling.
She slowly takes off her top, revealing a white bra underneath. Jake appears confused.
You're getting to, cool off.
She steps into the water and starts to undo her bra. Michael looks delighted. She removes her bra and turns to Jake, revealing her boobs.
So, do you want to get, wet?
Jake turns to Michael, looking shocked.
What are you doing?
Em, what the fuck? I am standing here giving it my all, and this jock is just standing there.
Cut! Hey, what's going on, man? Look, man, I want to create chemistry between you two, okay? You guys are like the sex of this thing.
Mm-hmm. You said you wanted a family reality show.
Well, sex is America's dirty little secret. And you can't talk about it at church, but at home on TV,
people want to see hard bodies, wet and glistening in the sun.
Look, if I do that, I have a mother and six nieces that will never speak to me again.
Look, man, people want to be entertained. Nate and I are just greasing the wheels a little.
Mm-hmm, greasing the wheels?
Yeah.
Well, look, man, I'm here to play the game, okay? Now, you can go grease the wheels. You can try catching some fish.
Huh.
I'll see if I can find something in the woods. Grease the wheels. You two, what? Catch y'all later.
Catch y'all later.
Great, I want a ditty. I got a Boy Scout.
Someone is watching amongst the trees above the cove.
Em, we don't need Jake. I'm all the sex that you want.
You're hot, but it's not the same thing.
Hey, where are you going? What, are you going to go shoot your girlfriend?
Michael stops.
No. Actually, I've got to rethink the storylines.
Hey, listen. I'm doing this gig for, like, free. And I want all the screen time that I can get. And I know how to make sure that happens.
She kisses him and undoes his belt.
Really?
She kneels in front of him. Michael raises an eyebrow.
Works for me.
He shuts his eyes and tilts his head back slightly. From a vantage point in the trees, a shadowy figure is watching the scene below. Mara and Nina are traipsing through the woodland.
No, you don't get it. I'm like a complete spaz when it comes to anything even remotely athletic.
I'm sorry I didn't help.
You're just playing the game, I understand.
I just really need this money.
Look, I'm not going to give you my radiation card if that's what you're worried about. I'm just thrilled I actually get to live another day.
Mara looks down into the cove and spots Elena fellating Michael. She appears horrified. Nina frowns as she too watches the scene.
Motherfucker.
Mara appears distressed. She moves away, tucking her hair behind her ears. Nina shakes her head. Mara sits by a tree.
Look, I know it hurts, but you don't need a piece of shit like that in your life. You're better off without him.
With her head in her hands, Mara starts to cry.
I thought he was the one, you know?
Nina crouches down to Mara's level.
I've known scumbags like this all my life. 6 months ago, I caught my fiancé in bed with my best friend.
Really?
Top it off? He used my credit card to put me into major debt. So I have to win this game. The sooner you realize you can only depend on yourself, the better off you'll be.
Nina stands up.
Come on. Take a breath. Let's go down there and kick his ass.
Is that what you did to your fiancé?
Put him in the hospital. Come on.
No. I'll just deal with it my own way.
It's what he deserves.
It's not me.
Come on.
No! I'm not like you. I don't want to be. I'm sorry. That came out wrong.
It's okay.
Nina marches off. Mara, looking a little bedraggled, thinks for a moment, then hauls herself to her feet. Jonesy is scurrying after Amber.
Come on, just tell me one hot experience that you had.
God.
No, I can even get you on Howard Stern if it's good. I got a buddy who works in a studio in New York.
You're such a moron.
Yeah, but we're on the same team here. You know, the same... All right. I'll stop. I swear, cross my heart. No more sex talk. From now on, you'll be the uptight lesbian sister I never had. Truce?
Jonesy offers his hand. With an icy look, Amber shakes it.
Oh. And now that we're family, tell me, who went down on who first?
Pendejo.
I'm kidding.
He starts to sniff.
Is that barbecue?
Some meat's roasting over a campfire in a clearing.
Mission fucking accomplished.
Wait, this is too easy. Maybe this is a trap to make us lose the game.
What trap? It's a hunter's camp, sister.
What are you doing?
I'm starved, and damn, that smells awesome.
Well, if this is a real hunter's camp, we can't just steal his food.
Why the hell not? It's a survival of the fittest kind of thing, you know? Finders keepers. You're a lesbian, we're your cojones. Look, if we bring this back to share with the others, nobody's gonna want us out of the game, huh? Ow!
What, it's hot?
Some clothes are hanging on a line nearby. She pulls off a couple of rags and flings one at Jonesy.
Finally, we're a team.
Don't push your luck.
They carry the skewer away.
Pork. Man, these hillbillies really know their barbecue.
As blood starts to drip from his mouth, Colonel Dale opens his eyes. He's hanging upside down, suspended by his ankles, his wrists tied together over his head. He looks round. He's in an open-air workshop area. There's a blood-stained butcher's block attached to which are a multitude of knives, saws, and meat cleavers. In front of him, also suspended upside down, is the dead body of Neil, the producer. His hillbilly captor appears and hisses in his face. He's still wearing the patch of Neil's hair on his head like a toupee. He thrusts a sharp little knife at Dale, teasing him. He has straggly hair and a ratty face with a prominent brow and sharp, uneven teeth. He stabs Dale a few times in the chest, and having gleefully licked the blood off the knife, he sticks his tongue out at his captive. He moves over to a sharpening stone, and with an evil grin, he starts to rotate the stone and presses the knife's blade against it. Elsewhere, Mara and Nina continue to trudge through the woodland.
So what are you going to do?
Getting out of here. I'll call the techies to drive me back to Wheeling.
Well, you're headed the wrong way. RV and cell phones are back that way.
Yeah, I can't get a signal from the RV. I'm just going to call them from there.
Okay.
Besides, I really don't want to run into Michael at the trailer.
You're kidding. No, you're crazy. Okay,
Hello?
They enter a ramshackle, wood-fronted little house deep in the forest.
Hello?
I can't walk into somebody's house.
Hello? I need to use your phone, please.
Mara steps further into a cluttered living area.
We shouldn't be here.
Then just wait for me outside. I want to make one phone call and I'm gone.
She opens a door at the far end of the room.
Hello?
Mara enters a bedroom. Dirty beige wallpaper has been ripped from the walls. On one side of the room, a dresser dominated by a filthy round mirror. Mara steps towards a cast-iron bed. She looks at a wardrobe, then turns to the mirror, which has some Polaroid photos attached round its edge. She looks at the photos and puts her hand up to her mouth.
All right, no phones. Oh, we done yet?
Seeing Mara's anguish, Nina looks at the photos too.
Holy shit. The whole family's deformed.
God, look at the twins.
The two girls peer through a crack in the door. The hillbilly mother with a prominent forehead, wispy hair, and disfigured face is laid onto the table in the living room.
Baby's coming now. You stay here with Ma. I'm gonna take some water.
As the two girls look on, the hillbilly daughter attends to her mother, who's now biting a wooden spoon. A pool of black goo spills onto the rug under the table. Mara shuts her eyes for a moment. The mother's hairy legs are bent at the knees as she lies on the table. Her hillbilly midwife has the baby wrapped in a blanket. She tries to show it to the mother, but she's pushed away. The child's face is badly deformed and misshapen. Suddenly, the daughter spots the girls at the door and screams. Nina and Mara rush back into the bedroom. They hold down the latch. Nina turns and looks into the room. Mara runs over to a box and slides a fork-shaped implement to Nina, who wedges it into the door latch. They rush to the windows, each of which is covered with a rusty grating. Nina and Mara slide the double bed up against the door. They pull back a curtained-off area and look down at a circular hole in the floorboards used as a latrine. Nina retches. Someone is hacking at the bedroom door. The girls start to rip up the floorboards beneath them. The panels of the door are being prized off. A hand appears through the door, and lifting the latch, the hillbilly daughter barges into the room and looks around. But it's empty. Nina and Mara have clambered under the house. Nina kicks away a bit of paneling, then they run away from the shack as fast as they can. Nina's up ahead, and Mara, who's shorter, is lagging behind.
Mara.
Suddenly, an axe flies into the side of Mara's head. Nina glances round in horror but keeps running. Blood starts to gush down Mara's face. She drops to her knees, then slumps onto the ground. One of the hillbillies jogs up to her body. Mara is lying on her side, still trembling. The hillbilly pulls the axe out of her head. A TV monitor shows the view from Nina's head cam as she continues to rush through the undergrowth. She reaches a little pathway and slows to a stop. She pulls the little camera off her ear and speaks into it. She looks round, terrified, and flinging the camera down, she rushes off. One of the hillbillies is marching through the wood in pursuit. He's carrying a quiver full of arrows across his back. He loads an arrow into his bow and continues onwards. He pauses and steps slowly up to the discarded little camera lying on the ground. He picks it up, and putting the little device around his neck, he strides off. The thick-set, dirty-faced man stops and sniffs the air. He takes a few slow steps forwards, his bow primed and ready. Nina is lying on her side behind a fallen tree, shaking with fear. Her tear-filled eyes dart around as she listens to her pursuer's footsteps getting nearer. The man's very close by. He slowly looks round. Nina tilts her head slightly so that she can see him. He hears a noise and turns. An old 1940s rusty pickup is approaching. Mara's body's been tied to its bonnet. The hunter turns back to the vehicle, inside which another of the hillbillies at the wheel chewing on a bone. He flings it out of the window, and it lands on the ground near to Nina. It's half a finger. Nina clasps her hand over her mouth. The hunter gets back in the pickup, which reverses and drives off. Nina exhales deeply, overwhelmed with relief. She thinks for a moment, then pushes the half-eaten finger away and runs off. Back at the cove, Elena's putting her tiny knickers back on. Michael approaches her sheepishly, still holding his video camera.
Hey, you good?
I'm good.
Can we, keep this as our secret? I wouldn't want to mess things up with Mara. You know, I think she's the one.
Whatever.
All right, then back to the RV. You coming?
Yeah, my dad's gonna stay here in town.
He nods slightly and starts to go.
Tell Mara I say hi.
He turns back to her slowly.
You're the star.
She rolls her eyes and lies down on the ground. Amongst the trees above the cove, the younger hillbilly man is looking down at her. He appears to be masturbating as he watches Elena sunbathe. The hillbilly daughter grabs him. Elena's heard something and sits up.
Em? Is that you? Don't screw around, it's not cool.
The hillbilly woman thrusts the man against the tree. Elena stands. The hillbilly woman slaps the guy across the face and pushes him over. He falls onto one of the tripwires.
Oh, shit. Okay, what's the challenge?
The mutant woman crushes the ringing device under her boot. Elena starts to dress. The hillbilly daughter rushes towards her.
Fuck!
Elena turns to the water but stumbles and falls forward. Her attacker slashes her repeatedly across the back with a machete. The water around Elena starts to turn red. As the hillbilly thrusts the knife into Elena's back, blood spurts into the air. Elena's now slumped motionless face down in the water. The young hillbilly man holds back his companion. Elena's spine's been completely exposed by the attack. The panting assailants catch their breath. Then the daughter strokes the young guy's face and lank hair. Their thick lips meet and they start to kiss hungrily. In the open-air abattoir, Dale's still suspended by his ankles. The ratty hillbilly is emptying Neil's intestines into a corrugated iron bin. The rusty pickup with Mara attached to its front approaches. The huntsman hillbilly gets out. The butcher hillbilly plonks what appears to be a liver onto a block, and they start to untie Mara's body from the front of the vehicle. Dale looks round at Neil's corpse, which still has its bowel hanging out of the front of it. The two mutant country folk carry Mara's lifeless body and put it down in the mud next to a little hut. The huntsman and the hillbilly mother get back into the pickup. Dale staring towards the hut.
Mara! Mara!
Mara remains motionless. The pickup reverses away. butcher hillbilly stands in front of Dale wielding a combat knife. Dale punches the hick in the nuts. The hillbilly keels over and drops the weapon. Dale picks up the knife and manages to cut the cord binding his ankles. He flips onto his feet. His captor rushes at him with another knife. Although Dale's wrists are still bound, he grabs the man's hands, twists his arm, and plunges the knife into the hillbilly's stomach. He punches the injured butcher across the face, sending him reeling. Dale picks another knife off the ground. He stabs it into a tabletop and rubs the cords of his wrist bindings along its serrated edge. He frees his hands, and the hillbilly rushes at him, forcing him into the dirt. As he gets up, the hit waves a length of wood at him. Dale grabs his arm and punches his captor in the face. He knees him in the stomach and flips him over, but the hillbilly grabs a rifle propped up against the hut. The two men struggle for control of the weapon. They roll through some trees. Dale shakes off his opponent and takes aim. A close-range blast in his gut sends the butcher flying into the air and down into the lake. With an expression of grim determination, Dale nods to himself and heads back to Mara, who he crouches next to. He turns her onto her back. Her eyes are open, her face bloodstained. He checks her pulse. He looks up and thinks. He takes the little survivor tag from around her neck. He pulls the combat knife out of the tabletop and tucks it into a sheath on his belt. Then Michael saunters round the back of the RV, his camera slung over his shoulder. He pulls open the door and climbs into the editing room inside.
Hey, Neil, I'm back, yo. What, are you dropping a deuce? Seriously, Neil, light a match. Neil! Guess you're not here. All right, let's see what we can see.
He looks at images from the head cams on a computer screen.
Run. No, run.
Nina's head cam appears to malfunction.
What?
He fiddles with wires under the table.
This works. What's the matter? Neil! I can't fix... This seems... Great. You know, you spend money on film school. Just...
Huntsman Hillbilly gets into the RV driver cabin.
2, 3, 4. And it works. Looks good. What is that, Nina?
The vehicle moves off at speed, knocking Michael against a door. It runs over a camping chair and a couple of TV monitors are pulled over too. It heads out of the tarmac's parking area at the edge of the forest.
Damn it! Neil, can't move! We're hardwired in!
He opens the door to the cabin. The two hillbillies grin at him. One of them grabs him by the throat. The RV continues around a bend. Inside its editing room, the huntsman hillbilly still has a grip on Michael's neck. He punches the director in the face, knocking him out. His disfigured captor sees that the screen on the desk is displaying an image from his point of view, thanks to the head cam he's got around his neck. Michael comes to, and the huntsman hillbilly skewers him to the wall of the RV with an arrow through his shoulder. He turns the arrow, and blood streams out of the hole in the side of the vehicle. The RV continues down the forest road. Jake, Amber, and Jonesy are enjoying a meat feast from a makeshift barbecue in the middle of the show's set.
That's cool.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Go for another one, huh?
Mm.
The only white meat. If this is what Armageddon's like, bring it on, baby.
Yeah, maybe next time you should search for a bib.
I'm so glad I ran into you guys. Yeah, and don't forget who got you the nosh, dude. You win the chance to get rid of that nuclear card, send it someplace else.
No worries.
Jake and Jonesy shake hands.
Hey, where's Em and Elena?
Oh. Back at the river, shooting the unrated version of the DVD.
I'll see you two later. Oh, I can't even move. I'm so stuffed, sex is going to have to wait. Shit, ghost. Ow!
You nasty.
If you win, what will you do with the money?
Well, I win. I'm going to throw the most outrageous beach party in history.
You're a cliche, dude. How about you?
Well, when I win, I plan on getting my degree in sports medicine. Since my arm won't let me play football anymore. Figure I can still help others, you know? Stay in the game.
Can't be a football hero. so you'll settle for a hero of any kind.
Yeah, something like that.
Nice to know there's still hope for mankind.
Dude, if you're saying this to get in her pants, forget about it. She doesn't play on our team.
Shut up. How about you? What you plan on doing with the cash?
I owe my father a bunch of money. If I win, I am free and clear of him for good.
Father?
He doesn't approve of my lifestyle. He wants nothing to do with me.
I guess you can't choose family.
Man, Em is so screwed. He wanted a show for Middle America, but he hired a lesbo, a sensitive jock, a bipolar vegan, an extreme fuck-up, and Miss Hollywood. Dude, we're the Red State cast from hell.
Nina collapses.
Yo, Nina! You all right, Nina?
Myra. Dad.
What happened to you?
We have to get out of here. Now. They killed her!
Hey, look, calm
They'll
down.
They'll find us here!
Well, take a deep breath, okay? Who will find us here? What are you talking about?
These hillbilly freaks! They killed Myra, and they tied her to the hood of their truck! We have to get out of here right now!
Jake looks anxious.
This is awesome!
What's wrong with you?
I'm not kidding!
Come on, it's part of the game. Post-apocalyptic crazies roaming through the forest?
It's not a game, okay? These hillbillies were eating her finger!
Hillbilly cannibals? Emma's a genius!
Stop laughing!
Hey, stop laughing, man, okay? Hold on. It's Myra. She's Em's girlfriend. She was in on it. I got this. What you saw was special effects.
Nina grabs him.
What I saw was real. We need to get out of here now. Please.
Yeah, we're gone.
This is just a test to see if we bug out. These kind of shows always screw with their contestants. You guys want to go? Go ahead. I'm staying put and winning the 100 Gs.
Then they'll kill you too, man.
What?
Amber points at the barbecue.
No!
Nina!
Jonesy spots a figure of eight motif on the roasting meat.
Get the fuck.
That's Kimberly's tattoo.
Holy shit. That's her leg.
That's it. Game's over. Amber, let's go. Come on.
Jonesy!
They run back into the forest. Then they're rushing through trees.
They're fucking cannibals, dude.
Shut up.
Where the hell's the RV?
Just over the ridge. Keep quiet and keep moving.
That ain't stopping.
Nina steps on a nail.
My foot!
Let me look at it.
No, I'm a shark, man. I gotta keep moving or I die. You know what I'm saying?
Shut the fuck up.
Look, you guys get to the RV, okay? We'll be right behind you. This is gonna suck.
Oh, shit!
I need to put pressure on that. Come on, give me your wristband.
No.
Look, you don't have to hide anymore.
He takes her wristband.
How'd you know?
When I found out I never played football again, I spiraled down pretty hard. My therapist told me I should sit in one of her suicide support groups. You know, give me a better perspective. There was a girl that used to do the same thing. Only she used a bandana. So how old was the scar?
6 months.
What happened?
I just trusted too many of the wrong people all my life. But I'm past it now.
So it's old news.
Why do you think I came to win this game?
Guess you get your chance to do just that.
An old man with an undeformed yet weathered face hobbles down the front steps of the forest shack. He crosses to a clothesline, which also has some dead fish hanging up on it, and retrieves a rag. He wrings it out, licks his fingers, then limps back into the house. Dale is watching him from behind some nearby junk. Inside the living room, the old man is mopping the birthing goo from off the rug. Dale creeps up behind him and points a rifle at the back of his head.
You so much as fart, old man, and I'll drop you.
Don't kill me, brother. I'm a good Christian man.
Are you sure?
Yeah. This is the place. Here are the tire tracks, the empty equipment cases, the garbage.
This is so F in the A.
Nina and Jake run up to them.
Your fucking RV is gone.
Let's just keep going.
We're dead meat.
Where to? The nearest town is 50 miles away.
We're all gonna end up hillbilly barbecue.
I'm not gonna tell you again. Keep quiet.
Now, come on.
No, there's that old paper mill out by the main road.
Right.
No, it's abandoned.
Well, we gotta dig in somewhere.
Maybe there's a public phone.
Dude, you know why they call it abandoned? Because there's nothing in it anymore, including phone.
Hey,
don't hurt me.
He spots something in the grass.
That's a bear trap. There's no animals around here. Why do they have a fucking bear trap set?
We're not trapping bears. We're trapping people. There's no wildlife to eat around here. They're eating us.
Okay, I was wrong. Paper mill's a great idea. Let's just get out of here.
No. Look, man. If we take the road, we're sitting ducks. All right? So I want everyone to stick together and watch where you step.
Yeah, no shit.
Nina flings down a rag from the trap.
Yeah.
They run back into the forest. Back in the hillbilly shack, Dale, with his top off, is sewing up a wound across his belly. The old man is sitting in a chair behind him, swigging medicine from a little bottle. Dale bites the end of the thread with a pained expression. He looks at a bow hanging over a couple of wall-mounted candlesticks, and on top of a bucket of firewood, there are several sticks of dynamite.
Who are you blowing up, old-timer?
Just a trout. On the way to bring them to the surface. Dynamite stuns them. They float like lily pads, and I just scoop them up.
A black-and-white photo of a young man and a portly woman in a round frame.
Pretty wife.
That's my Delilah. Gave me the happiest days of my life. God bless her soul. You know, you one lucky son of a bitch. A lot of folk go in them woods, never seen one come out. I stay clear of them myself.
How many of those freaks are out there?
Hard to know. More than the ones you run across, that's for sure.
What are they?
Just like you and me, brother, except uglier. And a lot stronger. Hey, I hit one of them youngins once in my pickup. He popped up and just kept going. It's the chemicals changed them. Half mill shut down near 30 years ago. And left a mess. And the poison killed off all the game. Most folks round these parts left. There's one family stayed on this hollow. And pretty soon the baby started gushing out of their mama's womb, just as ugly as them trout I got hanging out there. And then they grow up, have kids of their own. Turned out even worse.
He takes a swig of medicine.
You know, say for a bite? Fish is ugly, but they fry up real good.
Much obliged, but I gotta get going.
Dale puts on his T-shirt.
Well, if you're going to head out to get your friends to settle the score, I best jump to it before it gets dark. You don't want to be out in them woods at night.
Why do you stay, old-timer?
Well, I could never leave. Gotta stay close to my youngins.
You motherfucker! I'll go kill you! Don't shoot my boy! I'll kill you!
Dale stuffs lit dynamite in the back of the old man's trousers. Dale rushes from the shack and tumbles on the ground. The old man comes out with his gun. He stops and explodes in a cloud of blood and guts.
Say hello to the missus for me.
With a blood-spattered face, Dale holds up the old man's rifle. It, too, is covered in blood, but the barrel's been damaged in the blast, and the colonel discards it. The ex-soldier strides back into the house. Elsewhere in the forest... The four remaining contestants run through some trees. Jake stops them. They proceed with caution.
It's one of them.
They see the younger male hillbilly having vigorous sex with a woman over a fallen tree.
It's Elena.
Yeah, what makes you think that?
The woman has long dark hair.
Hey!
The four friends rush towards them. The young hillbilly woman removes her toupee of Elena's hair. hillbilly woman grabs a knife. Her partner does up his flies and grabs his axe. They swing their weapons at the two boys, knocking them over. Jonesy is slashed badly in the upper arm. He falls backwards, and the axe lands on the ground between his legs. Nina's running through the trees. Suddenly, she plummets downwards into a hidden pit. The mutant woman clambers on Jake's back. He reverses into a tree. Amber swings her spear at the hit guy, knocking him backwards, his head striking a rock. Jake shakes himself free of his attacker. Jonesy joins the others running off. The hillbilly woman crouches over her motionless partner. The three friends turn back and watch as the hillbilly guy cricks his neck straight. Amber throws her spear at them, but the disfigured woman just catches it and snaps it. Meanwhile, Nina is sitting in the bottom of the pit. She tries to scramble up the loose soil, but keeps sliding back down. She starts to laugh as if overwhelmed.
Where's Nina?
She deserted us!
The two hillbillies emerge next to the narrow forest road. The old pickup stops beside them and they get in.
Son of a bitch!
Keep moving!
Philip, I'll find you. We'll meet up at the mill. Go!
Jake picks a new route through the woodland. The pickup's still speeding along the road with its hillbilly passengers inside. Jake runs past more trees and stops with a look of concern.
Nina! Nina!
The pickup pulls up and Huntsman Hillbilly and his younger male companion get out. The hillbilly daughter gets behind the wheel and drives off. Jake reaches the pit.
Nina! Down here!
Nina? Are you okay? We've got to get you out of here, all right? Look. Come on. Come on, Nina.
He stretches into the hole.
I can't breathe.
Come on, Nina. Almost. Okay, hold on.
They clasp hands together. She slides downwards, yanking his arm. With great effort, Jake hauls her towards the top of the pit. She flops forwards up onto solid ground. Jake winces and slumps onto his back.
My shoulder is dislocated. Come on, you gotta help me pop it in. Okay, pull and twist, okay? Go. Help me up. Let go of my arm.
Amber, do with me. Did they make it?
We all made it. We'll meet up with them at the mill, okay? Let's go. Let's go, let's go.
The pickup continues heading along the forest road. Jake and Nina are fleeing through the trees. The hillbilly woman stops the truck and takes a pump-action shotgun off a bracket within the driver's cabin. Jake and Nina head down a slope and reach a cliff's edge. Way below them, the fast-flowing river. They exchange nervous looks. The hillbilly daughter's aiming the shotgun at them.
Let's go.
Where?
They leap off the cliff and plummet down into the water. The mutant hick woman waves her arms in frustration and marches off. Meanwhile, at the entrance to a woodland cave, Dale is sitting on a rock taping sticks of dynamite to several arrows. He lays them carefully next to each other, puts them into a quiver, and checks that his cigarette lighter works. He picks up his bow. Then, with an expression of grim determination, he slowly smears his face with black war paint. Elsewhere in the wood, Amber leads Jonesy through the trees. Jonesy's gripping his bleeding arm.
You totally kicked ass back there. I'm serious, you were like Xena warrior princess. You were right. I was a total asshole before. I'm never going to diss you or any other female ever again.
Great.
It's cool, we outran him.
Run.
They continue onwards through the undergrowth. Jonesy trips over. An arrow lands in the tree trunk beside them.
Oh, shit.
Come on.
They rush off. Huntsman Hillbilly loads another arrow, but they've got away. Then Amber's waist-tied cardigan gets caught in a low branch. As she struggles to undo it, Jonesy tears it free. Amber puts the garment on as they continue forwards. Jonesy stops. He's put his foot in a rope noose. The snare tightens around his ankle and lifts him off his feet, dangling him high above Amber.
Jonesy!
Amber! Amber, help me!
Jonesy!
Give me that! Oh, no! Oh! Amber! Amber, help me!
The long rope's tied off around a tree.
Oh, God! Hurry, Amber! Help me! It's...
Huntsman Hillbilly strides through the wood.
Amber! Amber, go!
No!
Amber, don't do this!
I'm
Amber.
Not leaving
go.
You!
Run! No! Amber, no!
Amber's caught in another snare, and they're both dangling by their ankles.
Amber!
The hillbilly boy scampers into the clearing under the captives. He picks an axe off the ground as Amber and Jonesy try to reach each other. Below them, the mutant young man swings his axe gleefully. Huntsman Hillbilly rushes up to him and pats his prodigy in a fatherly way. He points his bow and arrow at the couple above them. Then he stops and hands his weapon to the younger man, nodding and encouraging him. His son looks delighted and takes aim. Above them, the friends have their faces close together.
Bring it down. I'm here.
Amber, I'm scared.
You're not alone. All right, I'm gonna get us out of here.
You know, my mother always used to say I'd live for...
An arrow has gone through the back of Amber's head, through her eye, through Jonesy's eye, and out of the back of his head. Below them, the young hillbilly eagerly sticks out his tongue as blood starts to drip down onto his face. He takes excited slurps. Amber and Jonesy hang motionless above him, joined together by the arrow through their heads. The hillbilly's face is now spattered with blood droplets. Elsewhere, the steep, rock-covered river cuts through the forest. A rusty old waste pipe juts out of the riverbank, a slimy green trail hanging from its mouth. Jake's hand grips onto a muddy verge, and with great effort, the college footballer clambers up the bank. He hauls a bedraggled-looking Nina up, too. The hillbilly woman's back in the pickup. She punches the dashboard as the vehicle heads down the road. Dale's camouflaged face appears through the trees. He finds the piece of Amber's ripped cardigan and continues onwards. Nina and Jake are approaching an old industrial building.
There it is.
Jonesy wasn't kidding. This place is dead.
They wander through chicken wire gates into a courtyard in front of the deserted paper mill. Bushes and brambles are encroaching on the dilapidated brown building. Nina passes stacks of rusty barrels.
Birth defects, no shit.
A label on the side of them says, chemical waste, warning, may cause birth defects. Nina pushes open a door and they enter the dark factory. Jake pulls a little torch out of his sock.
Can't see anything. How the hell are we going to find him in here?
Let Amber and Jonesy find us.
Where'd you get that?
I brought it with me for the game. I thought it might come in handy.
That's cheating.
Sue me.
A sign says, manager's office.
You think they're up there? Maybe they found a CB radio. Call for help.
I guess I'll go first.
They head up a wooden staircase.
Be careful.
Nina looks round at him sourly. They enter a long, shadowy room. Within it, there are desks covered in files and cobwebs.
They gotta be around here somewhere.
Nina's holding a phone receiver.
If they even made it here at all.
She approaches a cupboard, the door of which is stained with bloody fingerprints.
Come on, guys. Where you at?
there's a cobweb-covered skeleton with a doll.
She was just a little girl.
Looks like she's been in there forever.
She's hiding.
Yeah, but from whom?
This isn't right.
She starts to run away.
Nina!
You baby, better get out of here now!
No, Nina, we cannot leave them, okay? Let's go.
The factory floor is filled with cars. Jake and Nina look down at them from a balcony.
Look, there's the RV. I don't see them.
Oh, Jesus. This family's been doing this for decades.
Some of the cars are stacked on top of each other.
Oh, my God. That sounds like I'm screaming.
Okay, I'm going down there.
They rush down some stairs and between the abandoned cars. Jake is about to enter the RV and stops.
No.
Flinging her the torch, he discards a crowbar and picks up a wrench.
She got my back?
Nina throws her arms up. Jake pulls open the door and enters the RV's editing room.
Please.
Footage of Michael tied to a chair is playing on the monitor. Outside the RV, Nina looks round at the hillbilly girl who's pointing a shotgun at her. Nina's dragged away. Jake watches the monitor. A woman picks up a meat cleaver and approaches Michael. Jake watches in horror as blood pours down the director's shirt. Then his head is tossed casually onto the floor.
Oh, no! This is a trap!
Jake turns and is confronted by Huntsman Hillbilly, whom he punches twice. The Huntsman then grabs Jake and nods.
Shit.
Jake's tossed out of the RV, and his wrists and ankles are bound together. Dale is crouching amongst the parked cars nearby, watching the scene. The hillbilly woman kicks Jake in the side, then he's dragged away. A full moon is hanging in a clear, dark sky. Nina slowly opens her eyes and surveys her new surroundings. She's sitting in a chicken wire cage at the edge of the hillbilly's living room area. A skeleton is propped up in the next cage along. Nearby, Jake's suspended by his wrists behind an armchair. The huntsman enters, pulls out a knife, and appears to cut a little sliver from Jake's abdomen. He punches Jake in the stomach and moves over to where his hillbilly wife is standing at a table cluttered with human body parts, including Michael's head. The woman's chopping entrails with a meat cleaver. The man feeds her the sliver of flesh and rubs her tummy. She shrugs him off. Nina watches in horror as the huntsman moves to a battered armchair in front of a flickery black and white telly. The hillbilly daughter gets out of her chair and brings him a jar which he unscrews the top of and drinks from. Nina looks on aghast as the hillbilly mother starts to prepare Michael's dismembered head. She seems to cut his tongue out. The hillbilly son appears and points a video camera at Nina. He puts his fingers through the cage wire like a visitor at a zoo. The huntsman looks round at his son disapprovingly. The hillbilly daughter kicks him over and points the rifle at Nina. The prisoner recoils as the woman's about to fire.
Fuck you!
The girl bashes Nina with the rifle butt. Colonel Dale is moving slowly and carefully through the car storage area. He flinches and stares upwards as if disturbed by something, then continues on his way. Later, Nina wakes again. She slowly opens her eyes. The hillbilly son and daughter are sat next to her, smiling. She's sitting in a chair at the head of the dining table, but her bloodied wrists have been bound to the arms of the chair with razor wire. Hillbilly Jr. playfully slaps her with a fly swatter. The young hick picks up the dead fly and throws it at Nina.
Stop messing with her!
Hillbilly mother comes to the table carrying a large cooking pot. Hillbilly son tries to take the lid off the pot, but is reprimanded. The huntsman father comes to the table. Nina is watching open-mouthed as this domestic scene unfolds in front of her. The mutant family join hands as if to pray. Hillbilly Jr. offers his hand to Nina, who recoils. He makes an encouraging face, but is rebuked by his father. With bowed heads, they grunt a strange version of grace.
What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Nina looks down at the razor wire that's cutting through her wrists. Hillbilly Ma serves out a ladle of strange, meaty stew to her husband. The younger man holds out his plate and receives a serving of the grisly slop. As Nina watches in horror, a pile of mush is plopped onto a bowl in front of her. The hillbilly son smiles and waves some of his food in her face.
I hope you fucking choke!
The young man frowns and stuffs the meat into her mouth. Nina now has a mouthful of the entrails, which she spits on the floor. As she retches, the hillbilly son bows his head. Ma Hillbilly leaves the room carrying a slop bucket. Nina appears woozy. Colonel Dale is heading down a shadowy corridor which is lined with pipes. At the end of the corridor, he takes off his backpack and looks upwards. A rusty ladder hangs down from the ceiling. Dale climbs up and starts to push open a metal grate in the floor above him. He lifts his head out of the hole and peers round. He lowers the grate just before Ma Hillbilly steps onto it. The grotesque woman stands by a heavy-duty industrial wood chipper and turns it on. Two vicious-looking steel cylinders covered in huge metal teeth start rotating. As Dale watches through the grate below, the woman flings the meat scraps in between the spinning drums, which shred them as they pass through its revolving teeth. As the woman waits with handfuls of discarded flesh, blood drips out of her fist and onto Dale's face below. She lifts some intestines out of the bucket, and Dale's face is splattered with blood. Ma throws the remaining contents of the bucket into the chipper, which spews guts out of a vent and down into two blood-filled oil drums below. A button is pressed, and the machine stops spinning. Dale wipes his eyes. Ma walks away from the wood chipper. The colonel lifts the metal grate and checks the coast is now clear. Nina's still a captive at the dinner table.
Please, let's go!
Oh, man. Help!
Dale, with a quiver of arrows on his back and holding his bow, proceeds down another corridor lined with children's bikes and garden toys. As he heads cautiously forward, a radiation tag he's carrying sets off one of the monitoring devices hidden amongst the toys. The family look round at the table.
Help! Help!
Dale presses the tag onto the device.
Help! Please! We're in here! We're trapped! Please, someone help us!
Pa Hillbilly, the young man and the daughter step into the corridor lined with toys and look round. The two younger ones head off into the car storage area. Pa Hillbilly spots the radiation device on the floor and picks it up. He stares at it and hurls it down. Hillbilly Jr. goes to a shelf upon which are assorted torches, some of which he tries, then opts for a camping light. His sister's armed with a shotgun, and he's carrying an axe. They head off through the car graveyard, hunting for the intruder. Dale's crouched by the side of one vehicle, watching them as they move past. They continue onwards, unaware. The ex-soldier holds out his forearm, and grimacing, he cuts into it with his combat knife. The disfigured pair continue to search around the cars. The young hillbilly man frowns as he looks round, holding up the camping light. Dale is now moving around the area, letting the blood from his arm leave a trail on the floor. The hillbilly couple have stopped and are surveying the room as he moves behind them. They turn round, and the young man touches and sniffs the drops of blood. They become more agitated. The young man clambers onto the bonnet of a car. They gather pace as they follow the bloody trail. They reach an RV, which the male hillbilly looks inside. The young woman shines the light strap to the end of her shotgun onto the blood on the ground. Dale standing at the back of the RV with an arrow in his bow. He fires it into the young man's back. The fuse on the attached dynamite is lit, and the girl tries to help her brother as he flounders. Dale takes cover. The RV is covered in blood and gore. Nearby, Ma Hillbilly looks round and grabs a martial arts weapon. Dale comes out from behind the RV through lingering smoke and moves past the blood-spattered vehicle, stepping over dismembered body parts. The sun is starting to rise over the trees on the horizon. Jake's still hanging by his wrists.
Nina! Nina! Come on, wake up! Nina, wake up! Nina, can you pull your hands free?
She looks very groggy.
I need you to pull your hands free!
She shakes her head as she looks down at her blood-covered wrists in their razor-wire shackles.
Try! Nina! Nina, wake up! Nina! Dale.
Dale's now kneeling by Nina's chair. He looks down at her wrists. Nina's in shock.
I gotta do this. Breathe through it.
He lifts some of the wire off her wrist with his knife.
Ready? Okay. Go.
She pulls her hand through the wire binding. Again, he lifts the wire off with his knife. Again, she slowly extricates her arm.
Get up.
He helps her to her feet.
There's an exit door through there. Be right behind you. Go.
He moves over to Jake. He cuts Jake's ankle binding, then frees his wrists.
I want you to go find Nina.
He gets an arrow in his back.
Dale! Find Nina. Go. Go.
Dale snaps the arrow head off. Another arrow lands in his stomach. The huntsman hillbilly glares at him. Panting, Dale pulls the arrow out.
It's all you got, bitch!
The hillbilly mother runs in and flings a spiked chain weapon at Dale, which strangles him, piercing his neck with its spikes. Dale tries to pull it off, but it's stuck fast. Blood flows out of his mouth and down his t-shirt. He drops to his knees. As the colonel grimaces, blood spurts violently from his jugular vein.
Fuck you!
He slumps forwards onto the floor, twitching slightly and still. The hillbilly woman turns to her partner, clutching a blood-stained dress. The huntsman takes the rag and flings it down. He pushes over a table and rushes out of the room. Dale's lying motionless in a huge pool of blood. Nina runs into the courtyard of the paper mill and tries to catch her breath. Jake rushes into the wood-chipping room. The hillbilly mother presses a button and the machine's huge grinding cylinders start to spin round. She snarls at him, baring her teeth. The huntsman grabs Jake and punches him to the floor. Pulling him up, the huntsman flings him towards the woodchipper. Jake's head is close to the chipper's spinning crushers. Nina's still outside, gasping for breath. She looks round. Jake's trying to keep his head from being pushed into the woodchipper. As Hillbilly Mother gnashes her teeth, the huntsman is trying to force Jake into the machine. Nina bashes the mother's head against a log and knocks her out. She leaps onto the huntsman's back and bites a chunk out of his neck, spitting out the mouthful of flesh. The mutant throws her off. Jake attacks him with a wrench, thumping him in the back, stomach and face, knocking him into the chipper. Bits of shredded flesh start to fly out of the back of it. The mother knocks Jake over with a sledgehammer and attends to her husband, pulling him out and helping him to his feet, but he's now minus an arm. Nina starts to press several buttons on a wall opposite her. The mother raises the sledgehammer over Jake. Nina pulls down a lever and a huge suspended log swings down and knocks the pair of hillbillies into the woodchipper. Their legs disappear as they get sucked through the machine's grinding drums. Bits of bone and tissue shower out of the front of it, and a downpour of blood and guts spews into canisters in the waste storage area below. With a crazed expression, Nina presses a red button behind her, and the chipper stops rotating. She strides slowly over to Jake and helps him to his feet. They look towards the stationary, blood-soaked cylinders of the chipper. They turn and head out of the room. Jake's limping as he walks. There's a final splurge of guts into the barrel. Jake and Nina hobble slowly through the car graveyard.
You know you didn't have to come back for me, right?
Send me.
They approach Kimberly's open-topped red Mustang parked in one corner.
Wow. Nice ride. You want to take it for a spin?
Why not? It's the least this fucked up family owes us.
A steel garage door rolls upwards. The front of the Mustang with its West Virginia plates appears behind it. Nina's at the wheel, Jake's in the passenger seat slumped over. The car heads through the factory courtyard. Then it speeds past the broken sign for the paper mill at the edge of the road that says family owned and operated. Further into the forest, chemicals continue to pour out of the waste pipe and into the water. Fluorescent green liquid floats on the surface of the river, which winds through the woodland. Back at the forest shack, shirts are hanging up on the clothesline. A deformed gloved hand holds a little bottle under a water pump, which spews viscous green liquid into it. A little teat is pushed onto the top of the bottle. The mutant baby is carried in a sling by one of the hillbillies, who tries to put the bottle to its lips. The baby refuses it, and is then offered a dismembered finger, which it munches hungrily on. The end.